T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Super Bowl winning head coach, NFL Network analyst, Coach Brian Billick. Coach Joe and Evan, how are you?
Coach, how are you?
Good morning.
Always a pleasure.
Let's start locally. The Giant performance was a disaster on all sides of the ball. They didn't tackle. They couldn't run the ball. The offensive line was bad. The quarterback was bad. As it stands right now, what would you do with Eli Manning? Would you bring him back for another year? Would you try to move on? Or what say you on that?
Well, you know, that's always a tough one because, as we always say, one of the most difficult things to do is to evaluate the play of a quarterback separate from what's going on around him, both good and bad. But I would think they've been through this for a couple of years now. There is a shelf life for a quarterback at some point. I think Eli Manning's still a productive quarterback in the National Football League, but he's clearly not the long-range quarterback for the Giants, and it may be time for them to move on.
Coach, let's talk a little about the Saints, because I look at them. Now, all of a sudden, you know, here was this offensive juggernaut. They were scoring 45, 50 points a game, and we haven't seen that the last couple of weeks, even though they continue to win. I mean, how about where New Orleans is right now? It looks like they're going to get home field throughout the playoffs. I wouldn't bet against that right now. How about the Saints right now for you?
Well, they may be the most complete team. Of course, we're seeing all of the high-scoring, high-flying offenses have backed,
yes,
you know, down a little bit, so to speak, at,
yes,
least in the last couple of weeks when,
yep,
you look at the Saints, Kansas City, and what they're doing. The Rams, you know, all of them have had a little bit of a hiccup in terms of the level that was so high, you know, when it first started out. But I think the Saints, of those teams, has the best defense. The Rams' secondary seems to be struggling with big plays and tackling. Kansas City's defense has shown that it can be run on and moved on. So right now, I think the Saints, even though, you know, the offense, and they're okay with that because they've been reshaping that for a while to not be dependent on a Drew Brees 700 throw.
Right.
You know, look, we can play good defense. We can run the ball. And when need be, Drew Brees is going to give us a championship performance, can win a game for us. So, like they did the other night,
yeah, you know,
obviously couldn't quite get it done, but the defense stepped up, and that was a good classic win for the way I think they want to win now.
Is it going to take a fumble through the end zone in a Super Bowl,
God,
in an epic moment for that rule to change? Because that Tommy Lee Lewis fumble,
terrible,
through the end zone changed the game for a little bit until Cam Newton threw an incomplete pass to Ian Thomas and the game ended. But it looked like that fumble through the end zone, which to me has an extreme penalty, you know, an extreme penalty to have it be a turnover and then a touchback, gave Carolina a great opportunity to come back and tie the game. Should they change this rule, and is it going to take it to happen in an epic moment for them to finally do it?
Yeah, likely. I mean, obviously in a high-profile moment, higher profile than what we've seen so far, for that, kind of like the Jesse James touchdown in the playoffs, you know, in terms of an impetus being for, okay, let's redetermine what possession, let's redetermine what a football act is. I don't know that it happens that often that it elicits a, oh my God, we got to change this rules because it's ruining the game. So yeah, it probably would take a more dramatic moment in a bigger game.
You know, Coach, we're talking to head coach Brian Billick, of course, now the NFL Network, the 2000 Ravens, of course, the championship coach of that team. I can't remember in the Belichick era the Patriots playing a worse game than they played against Pittsburgh. I mean, 8 pre-snap penalties, Coach. That's unbelievable in a Belichick coach team. They've lost 2 in a row in December for the first time since the Great Flood, pretty much. What's going on with them? I mean, you got to be a little concerned about New England, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, as long as Brady and Belichick are there, there's always that lineage, that pedigree that says we'll be okay, particularly when we get to the playoffs. We can crank this thing up. But, yeah, I've commented they look like a tired team. And by that I mean whether it's mentally tired with the errors, their run defense, the fits. Sean O'Hara and I did a bit on playbook last week where they're just not quite fitting up. They're just not as sharp. And I don't know whether that's mental fatigue, emotional fatigue, physical fatigue, but they're not playing, you know, the the key for the New England Patriots has always been they've been a brilliant situational football team, and they can rise to the particular moments. And right now, they're not doing that.
Did you walk away impressed by the Steelers? I mean, good for them. They finally beat the Patriots.
Right.
But they, too, made a lot of mistakes in this game. What did you think of them?
They did. In a typical Steelers, Steelers are as good as anybody in the National Football League. But they just kind of do some bonehead things sometimes. Like, the blown coverage that led to the big touchdown and the lack of a blitz pickup when the linebacker came right down the middle of the field. Yet they're also capable of, they look like they could have run the ball at will all day had they wanted to. And this young man, Samuels, I mean, they just seem to plug and play guys. And I think it's underlined by the fact that I think they have maybe the best offensive line in the National Football League. Obviously, Ben Roethlisberger. And they're going to need that with, when you get that head-scratching loss to the Raiders. They absolutely at home needed to have this win against the Patriots. And they got to go on the road and beat New Orleans, because obviously it's going to be interesting. Baltimore and Pittsburgh are kind of both poised there. But the way Indianapolis is coming on and some of the others, I'm not sure that the loser of the Baltimore-Pittsburgh fight to the AFC North isn't going to be out of the playoffs altogether. They're in the driver's seat right now, and the Ravens have their own tough game, coming up. But because I got to go west to play the Chargers, who are playing as well as anybody in the league right now. But, Pittsburgh plays the game they're capable of. The hard thing is going on the road to New Orleans, that's where Ben Roethlisberger sometimes seems to struggle.
What's your thoughts on Lamar Jackson, Coach?
It's amazing. It's fun to watch in the sense that obviously they've got a formula where you're playing great defense, not good defense, great defense. They're leading the league in rushing over the last few years, the last few weeks, obviously, when your quarterback chips in 70 to 100 yards a game. Can you win with, even though your quarterback cannot throw a lick? I mean, it's funny how bad this guy is in terms of throwing the ball. Maybe he'll get better. So it'd be interesting to see how teams plan going forward. The main thing to me is obviously you got to get a good five-man rush, keep him in the – and don't even tackle him. I tell my guys, don't even try to sack him. Just keep him in the pocket. Make him throw the ball.
Right.
Build a run stop in front. Make him throw the ball, because as more often as not, he's going to bounce it in or throw it to one of us.
You know, right now, Jared Goff is not playing good football. He made that awful, awful mistake on that turnover in the game that they lost against Philadelphia. They're probably still going to get a first-round bye. They're 11-3. But what are your thoughts on the way Goff has played over the last three or four games?
Well, I'll go back to my comment about separating the play of a quarterback from what's going on around them. When you look at the interceptions, one was just a bad interception. The other, in terms of the tip and the way he got hit, and I'm not making excuses for him. Without Cooper Kupp, he misses Cooper Kupp, clearly, because that was kind of a go-to guy for him in critical situations. If I'm Sean McVay, I'm probably a little more worried about my secondary and my lack of physicality in the back end than I am Jared Goff right now.
Coach, who wins the AFC West?
Wow, this is kind of getting interesting. I think San Diego is a more complete team, clearly, with the offense and the defense. And how about the prospect of San Diego getting home field advantage through the playoffs and the AFC championship game being played in a high school soccer stadium?
Yeah, how about that? Yeah, no, you're right.
My feeling, they'll probably move that to the Coliseum, unless, of course, the Rams are in.
How about this, Coach? How about they move it to Qualcomm Stadium in San Diego?
How about where it belongs?
That would be, you just got a sadistic vein in you now. I mean, you're just talking.
Well, that's where it should be, Coach. Come on.
Yeah, you're right. And Philip Rivers, I think, and obviously Mahomes has had a magical season. Drew Brees is spectacular. But I think the way it's coming down, that win, two touchdowns, last 5 minutes, no Melvin Gordon, no Keenan Allen. I think just from sentiment standpoint, right now I think Philip Rivers would be my MVP.
Yeah, I think he's moving up that ladder.
I would agree with that.
Drew Brees had it for a while, but his numbers have kind of cooled. His play has cooled over the last few weeks. So you're right about Philip Rivers. Let me ask you this as a coach who's experienced this, and I know It only happens due to circumstance, and that's the situation both Kansas City and the Chargers are in, where if you win the division, you're likely the one seed, and if you don't win the division, you're likely the five seed, which is a huge difference. It's a huge difference between home field throughout, win two games, and go probably win three games on the road. Is that something you'd want to see the league change, or do you just kind of shrug your shoulders and say, it happens once in a while, we just have to live with it?
No, I've long advocated that we reseed in the playoffs. I think, I mean, America's a meritocracy. And for a Kansas City or a San Diego with 11 or 12 wins, 13 wins maybe, having to go on the road to play a 9-7 Baltimore team or Pittsburgh, to me that's just not right. That cuts against my grain. Now, the people that argue saying, well, no, there's got to be value in being able to win a division. Well, yeah, if you win the NFC East with 9-7, you had a hell of an advantage. You get to go to the playoffs just because it's a crummy division. And so I'm very much one that would advocate reseeding once we get into the playoffs.
Coach, how do you see this AFC wildcard situation playing out? You got the 3-8-6 teams right now. Miami sits 7-7. I don't really look at them as being viable there. You got the two AFC South teams. You got the Ravens. How do you see that playing out?
I think the team to watch is Indianapolis. And like I said, the AFC North, it's going to be interesting. You could very easily go from winning the North to being out of it altogether, whether it's Baltimore or Pittsburgh. Not that it couldn't turn out that way, but who they're playing, what they have to do to play. Indianapolis, that offensive line with Indianapolis next to Pittsburgh is just playing spectacular. And it's showing what Andrew Luck can do when he's got an offensive line. So, we'll see how it plays out. The win against Dallas was substantial for them to shut out the Dallas Cowboys as hot as they've been playing. I'd keep my eye on the Indianapolis Colts for that sixth spot.
Mm. Tell us about how we can get good tickets with SeatGeek.com.
Yeah, not only football or athletic tickets, but, I mean, it's the holidays. You're looking for a present, don't know what to get your wife or girlfriend or parents or whatever. Give them tickets to a concert or to an event they want to go to. You go to SeatGeek.com. Every transaction is 100% guaranteed. You go to the app, they give you a look, and they've just got millions and millions of tickets, give you a rating of what kind of deal you're getting. Like you'll say, I don't mind overpaying for good tickets. I just don't want to overpay for bad tickets. And the best part, like I said, every transaction is guaranteed. You put in the promo code BILLICK, and you're going to get $20 back on your first purchase.
Beautiful. Thank you, Coach. We appreciate it.
Coach, always a pleasure. Coach, happy holidays.
You too.
Coach Brian Billick, of course, NFL Network analyst.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.